I want to take you in a journey in your imaginations this morning. So, as you sit there, just imagine that you are with a gaggle of mates near the Jordan River. We are curious bystanders. We are chatting and catching up. We are watching and waiting. While the new preacher and miracle worker talks to people by the river. John's people are down there, right next to the river. And we are Jesus' people, although some of us were with John until very recently. Me, I didn't have much interest in God and the way things work until recently. Something about this man, though, Jesus, Yeshua, he's known by different names, but people say the same things about him. He's mostly not a firebrand, he's not a fierce or raging preacher, he's not one of those who shouts himself hoarse. Mainly, he tells us stories. He shows us that the people in power don't have it right. They're either just in it for themselves, or they're shoring up the system. He shows you they're not there for us, the ones who are struggling to get by. Anyway, here we are, and the word is that Jesus is asking to be baptized by John. There's a bit of a kerfuffle down there. Now, if you're told something by John, you stay told, as the expression goes. John has his rules. Repent, be baptized, be forgiven, know that you are saved. But John is saying to Jesus that Jesus doesn't need to do that. He doesn't need forgiveness. But Jesus quietly insists that baptism is the right thing to do. And John goes along with him. Now, John doesn't change his mind, ever. But he does now. He agrees, and he pushes Jesus under the water in the Jordan, as is his way. And he normally just yanks people up, spluttering and gasping. But this time, it's very different. Jesus comes up out of the water, looking, well, radiant, really. And now it seems as if the sky is opening and loving words come down, fluttering and settling, as if Father God's blessing is settling on him like a bird, like a dove. There is this extraordinary sense of peace and stillness and joy, really. You are my child, my beloved son, and I delight in you. All of us who are there hear those words, or something like them, and we know that this man Jesus, Yeshua, call him what you will, is special, is safe, and we can trust him. So we trust him and we trust his words. If God's words, the Father's words, come down on him like that, how can we not trust every word he says, even if we don't understand it all? Perhaps especially as we can't understand it all. And back in the here and now, that is somehow our experience too. We recognise that Jesus is the truth embodied. We see in Jesus the humility, the faithfulness, the perseverance, the the truth, which Isaiah mentions. We may not understand all of it. We don't understand all of it. We know that. But it feels true, and it feels right, and we will follow where it leads us. But we do wonder with John, and doubtless with others who were there, why Jesus insisted on being baptized. And to look at that, maybe we should think back a little to our own baptisms, or the baptisms of children or adults that we have known and loved. Those christenings. Why were they baptized? Why were they christened? Why we? And what's that about? So what does christening mean for you? Why is it important? And can you please not just say sit there and say nothing? Something would be very welcome at this point. Yes, so it's a commitment to God, to truth, to trying to live in a different way, which either we take ourselves or which somebody else takes on our behalf. Yes. Family. Somehow baptism, it's not quite the same, but just as the relationship between two people goes very public indeed at their wedding, their marriage, at baptism they hold the baby up both to God and to the public, if you like. It's something about being seen in the place of the family in a public sort of way as well. In addition, of course, to being an excuse for a party, a celebration. And somehow a family very often feels more complete when the christening is done. And let me go back to Jesus and we think about the early church, because baptism symbolises birth and death and new life. It's not really as obvious now as it was in Jesus' time or in the early church, perhaps because having babies is so much safer. But Jesus went down into the water of the Jordan and looked up the baptism service today, and the introduction to that puts it really very well, I think. It says, our drowning in the water of baptism, where we believe we die to sin and are raised to new life, unites us to Christ's dying and rising. Water is also a sign of new life. We are born again by water and the Spirit. This reminds us of Jesus' baptism, and as a sign that new life, there may be a lighted candle representing the light of Christ conquering the darkness of evil. Everyone who is baptized walks in that light for the rest of their lives. And that's sort of what you were saying, isn't it? So those are the words from the liturgy. So we come to understand that Jesus was baptized not because he needed to repent and be forgiven, but somehow in solidarity with us. We needed to see that's what it's all about, because we are all in this together. Jesus is lit by the Spirit, and so are we. And this is both wonderful and awe-inspiring. And it's also just a little bit more than unsettling, because we also come to realise that even if you're the Son of God, you don't get special treatment or favours. Because Jesus came to a sticky end in the world's view. And sacrifices may or may not, big or small, be asked of us. It's not that there is a price ticket on baptism, but there may well be a cost, and we cannot know that before we dive or are pushed, or these days more delicately sprinkled, with the waters of baptism. But baptism is always accompanied by that presence of the Holy Spirit, who goes with us always. Through the Holy Spirit, we are reminded that we too are beloved children of God. Whatever happens, we can't earn it, and we can't dodge it. That is just how it is. Knowing the spark of God's love at the very centre of our being, that spark to be cherished, to be attended to. Because how else can we know God? And how else can others know God, except through and in us? So we'll just have a short time of quiet, just to let God speak to us. And then we'll use some words to affirm our beliefs and our promises of baptism.